other project which the colleague talks about, which is more about the shares, was an exchange program, which is immense of capacity building, where we have done it with Seychelles. Seychelles indicated that they want to offer South African an opportunity for them to go and learn about their role, cuisine, and other hospitality from their side. So we sent about 20 chefs from South Africa, from various provinces, actually all provinces were represented. Seychelles then took over, wherein they have given them a stipend, given them free accommodation and meals for 12 months. So that is another opportunity that happened, because at the end of the program, there were about 5 establishments that have offered South African permanent jobs. And apart from that, the rest of the other establishments also said they are more interested in offering South Africans opportunities to be in the establishment, and they also want to be part of the project. So that is also some of the benefits that we get out of the agreement that we have actually signed. So we have got other countries that are saying we want to do other projects, and also other areas of interest, such as the Somalias, wherein they said we don't have Somalias. We know South African, we have got good ones, and we have got the Somalias. They want those to be within their own countries. All these things come from the agreements that we are signing. And we scrutinize and say if there are benefits for us, then we will then follow those. I think one of the other projects that what the It's not on the slide, but I think it's some of the events that we normally do. It's the study tour visits that we normally are requested by countries, and benchmarking exercise that we normally get from countries. Recently, we have hosted the Tanzanian. So slide 30, yes, on slide 30, where we have hosted the Zimbabwean delegation who were on a benchmarking exercise on universal accessibility. So we took them to one of the district municipalities, first Zimbabwean district municipality, where they were learning in terms of how, as tourism, we cater for the elderly people, children, people with disabilities. This is some of the things that they would want to do in their own country, but they need to learn it from whoever is doing the best. And they identified South Africa as one of the countries that is doing well on those areas. I think I would want to rather just proceed to slide number 42 that talks to the challenges in terms of implementing the signed MOUs. As we have highlighted previously, while we're still negotiating the challenges on their own, but once the agreement has been signed, sometimes we find that there's a lack of buy-in from counterparts. At times we sign an agreement and you make follow-ups and say, we want now to do this particular project. Either they don't have financial resources, or the changes within the institutional structure, or because of restructuring within their own government, things just changes, and then there's delay. We find that we have signed an agreement. It's about 2-3 years coming, going on. There's nothing that has been done. However, there's not much that is lost financially if we are not implementing at that stage, because we are not either visiting. Because part of the implementation, what we do, we piggyback on the initiatives that are done from DECO or President. Because if there's a state visit and our minister or deputy minister is invited, the supporting officials will make sure that they are also contacting their counterparts in that country to make sure that they look at the implementation of the program that is on hand. The other challenge is, as I'm indicating, is the budget, which normally we find it many a times from our counterparts. They can't travel. We would agree that we have got a joint technical committee that oversees the implementation of an agreement. We would rotate that the meeting is held in South Africa the following year, or after 2 years, the meeting should be held in their own country. So if South Africa would go in their country, the next time when it attempt to come financially, they would challenge it. So they don't come. So you would only exchange notes and not necessarily limit. So if you have got private sector that needs to be part of the implementation, it becomes a challenge in that process. And some of the agreements that might have been signed for purely for political considerations as mechanisms to strengthen diplomatic relations between the states also becomes a challenge, because you might find that in terms at technical level, they probably don't have capacity or resources to actually drive the implementation thereof. So we do have that some kind of challenges of agreements that were signed down by 94-95, because they were not seriously focused in terms of technicality at level of tourism. But also, we would also realize that the tourism portfolio became a portfolio on its own around 2009. So somewhere behind it would have been tourism environment. So the actual implementation part as a solely for driving tourism might not be that much with that particular kind of MOU. Those are some of the MOUs that needs to be amended if there's an amendment clause in such agreement. Political instability in countries where the civil war, our African countries at most, and I'm not trying to talk negatively about our own continent, but it's a reality that in most cases after elections are contested, then there's political war, which nothing can be done at that stage. It can be a year, it can be 2 years. It actually has a negative impact in terms of implementing a such MOU. Health challenges. We currently have Ebola outbreak. DRC is affected. There have been a couple of countries. So these are some of challenges that actually impede in terms of the implementation of the signed agreement. So an agreement would have been signed after 4 or 5 years, we say, but what happened? Nothing has happened. There could have been this kind of challenges. I think we have spoken enough in terms of these challenges. Probably just to share with members in terms of the way forward as we see it, is that we definitely still should be continuing to service the current existing agreement where it is possible and with necessary resources, but also to identify agreements that are dormant as they are not necessarily yielding outcomes. And establish a mutual process to formally terminate such dormant MOUs. The other challenge is that when you approach your counterpart and say, we have got an agreement, it has never been signed. That's when they turn around and say, oh, but we really need to work on this one. So in such challenges, we need to still negotiate our way out and probably say, can we just cancel this? And we probably sign for a project, either for the project that we identify, let's focus on that for 12 months or 24 months. And also, in deserving cases, the department could opt to agree on a project that we can just work on. And also prioritizing establishing joint working groups for each of the countries that we have signed MOUs to facilitate the implementation of this agreement. There's a couple of countries that we have really effectively managed to establish joint technical committees, which are specifically to oversee the implementation of such agreements. And also that national and provincial government collaboration coordination is also critical. That in most of our tourist establishments are provinces at municipal level. So we really need to have efficient and effective collaboration with our municipalities and provinces. If we really want to grow tourism, we ensure that we are enriching the national priorities such as job creation, fighting poverty. We really need to work hand in hand and very closely with our provinces and our municipalities. So that's how you find there are filling arrangements that are done at provincial level, at city level. So those are things that we try to ensure that we will work together so that we synergize our efforts and we probably could be saving some resources here. And also to ensure that there's contribution towards investment opportunities as if we ensure economic growth and also continue to advance the interest and strengthen tourism through participation at multilateral forum. In conclusion, members, just to say that bilateral relations are platforms that could also be used as influential tools to lobby support from our partners for future candidacy and aligning policy in multilateral forums, such as the UNWTO, and also that the department should enter into agreement and participate in multilateral fora after making strategic assessment on how such cooperation will advance South Africa tourism and study interest. I thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I would afford the opportunity to honorable members to engage with their presentation in the form of question, answer and question session. Can I note members with a show of hands? I note you, Honorable Bam, followed by Honorable Begwa, followed by Honorable Masihela, Honorable Mamsego, Honorable Omo. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. And may I first of all recognize the presentations that have been made here. They are very good and illustrative, informative as well. I will start from almost your tail end of the presentation. You say you are having, there are some signed agreements from municipal level, provincial level, and so on. And how do you deal with these relations and these agreements as yourselves, as the Department of Tourism? Because it has come up that, you know, there are so many that sometimes you find that South Africa is overburdening some countries because you find municipalities wanting to twin with some countries in, you know, way you are also interested in. Also, with the plethora of agreements that you have signed, how do you calibrate all of them? And how do you prioritize them? What is your criteria of classifying them? And also, we appreciate the fact that you are spending so much money and you are investing so much in these agreements. Is there any return of investment besides the exchange of personnel, exchange of ideas? Is there any monetary value that accrues from that? And you talk of the dormant agreements. How do they become dormant? And these agreements, which ones have become dormant, and what do you do with the dormant ones? There is also this case of Ritosa. You seem to have been the Father Christmas of that arrangement, and now, whilst it has been wound down, you still want to honor your obligation in payment, whatever has been outstanding. What about the other Skyving countries who have not honored their obligations? Are they also going to do the same as South Africa? Or is there a mechanism whereby they can be traced and made to pay as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. First of all, let me just appreciate the presentation. But I've got the feeling that this whole exercise of that signing this MOUs is a very suspicious. Listening to the presentation. First of all, it tells us as a committee that there is no comparison that giving these people the membership is just a voluntary membership, nothing that is enforced on them to respond to the obligations that they've been signed. So as a country, if you can look back where we're coming from, we said we want to create a space for the economy, for our people to be part of the economy. It seems that this exercise is a very frustrating one because it doesn't make a lot. It doesn't yield the full result to all the MOUs that we have. But I think as a country, the South African as a growing country, we should find a way to do better. Because most of the countries that you mentioned, some of them, economically, they are not right. I mean, they are not in that standard. As you said, some of them, if they should come to South Africa, they say, no, we don't have enough capacity. So, in your presentation, you indicated Kirk Mandev, Municipality, and Soweto, and you mentioned the DNDs. If I may ask, the PNDs that you spoke about. What the department has done to assist those PNDs? Because I can assure you, those people, you find them that they created their own PNDs without any assistance. That means they're small businesses, as we speak. Is there anything that is done to assist them to grow so that they can, participate in the economy and meet big businesses? I think, Chair, let me just close up, but as the presentation has been given to us, it's a very frustrating process, I can say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thanks for the presentation. On slide number 8, under the Indian Ocean or IORA, they are talking of tourism being prioritized in 2013. I just want to check what is the situation presently, if it's still prioritized or not. And I didn't hear the presenter very well as far as the trilateral forum is concerned, the one of India, Brazil, and South Africa. take into consideration that now we have BRICS, do we really, really need the two of them to be side by side? Is it not possible that the trilateral forum falls within the Brazil and still yield the same results? Again, on slide number 10, under the IORA also, you are talking of available membership space for projects initiated by IORA and the money that is being paid. So I just wanted to check with us as to whether we have any project presently that are being funded from this MOUNA. If do we have any of those, and how much is being spent on that? On slide number 16, the Retosa, I think they already said a lot about the Retosa. But I wanted to check what are tangible benefits from this Retosa agreement, since we are the highest contributors within this. What are tangible benefits that we get from this? Is it really value for the money that we are using? Can it exist without us? Mm-hmm. If we do pull out of it, can it exist without us, this Retosa? Because it seems to me, indeed, someone said we are Father Christmas. But if it really yields a sum of tangible benefits, then it's okay. And I wanted to check also how far have our department incorporated the SADC Tourism Master Plan and the African Union Agenda 2063. Have we incorporated and how far have we done that? Yes, on slide number 20, where you talk about some of those MOUs needing to be renewed again and so on because they were dormant and other things. When you have to renew it, are you going to follow the same process that frustrating one again, or how do you shorten it, the process of doing it? I think those are the questions that I have to ask you. Thank you.
Okay. Chair? Oh, I also join my colleagues in appreciating the presentation from the team. I will not be directing you to any slide. I will just ask as I was getting the presentation from you. I had an interest when you were mentioning Lesotho and Zimbabwe as having seeming to be having increasing in numbers to South Africa. I just said, are they contributing to the economy of the country, or are just they just? I had an interest around that. I'm not asking any question, but I just had an interest. I am also now understanding that this signing of these MOUs are not just a simple thing, just like building a relationship. It takes time. That's why there are those that have just become dormant now. But I have a particular question to ask from you. What is your responsibility as tourism now? Not as a country, because most of these MOUs are of the country, not specifically tourism, but there is what is directed to you, tourism. There are provinces and municipalities that sign agreements with the international ones. What do you intend doing in strengthening those so that whatever seem to be a benefit between the two, you are able as a department to add value to that? Because sometimes there is a reason for a municipality or a province to have a partnership with the international world. What do you intend to do as a department if you are not, if you have not started now. What I also understand is that in these MOUs are not for the people who just want to tap, let me say, the low-hanging fruit. It's something that is middle-term, long-term, because you have to wait, the cycle is long. So those that want to see things happening are not for these MOUs. You have to wait for a long time, you do whatever. What I as that organization is winding up, did you try to get how many member states were there? Because it seems as South Africa, you were very active. You were paying, others were not paying, you intend paying again. How many member states were there so that we see that there was value for money? You've been paying, there was value for money. There is a need for that organization to be at least recognized further. At least we can say a lot has been done. Because if our intention as tourism is to increase the number of visitors, at least we must acknowledge that a lot has been done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the input from the department. Chairperson, I would like to start off by first following on the matter of the payments, which will still be done to, I think it's Retora or Retosa. When one looks at the finality on the matter now, that actually is being taken over by, I think you said Botswana? But at any rate, what I'm saying is that with all these payments, I'm aware that my colleague has also asked this question. With all these payments that we have been doing through all these MOUs and all these agreements, how much would the total be? And how much would be the value of whatever we have put in the sense that one needs to look at how any of those agreements have actually had an impact on the poverty in our country, the unemployed, and all the major issues which are problematic in our country so far. I'm grateful when you actually address the issue of certain projects that are being done with other countries, like, let's say, for instance, the issue of, I think it's Seychelles, where you said, you know, we've got the chefs and whatever. Those are the type of issues I'm looking at. They might be minute, but they are making a difference. So it's quite important for us to get an understanding of why are we having so many of these MOUs, and how are they benefiting us? My second issue is an issue which you mentioned on your slide. I think it's the slide where you said, in conclusion, you know, we need those countries so that they can assist us when we are going for these positions. I think you had 2 points. You remember those 2 points. I'm a bit disappointed and disillusioned by that statement, because I would have expected us as a country to actually look at how any of those areas have actually assisted us to address the social ills, much more than getting ourselves into these high positions and all that. Whilst we acknowledge that we need those positions, but it seems as if we are merely pointing out that area of, you know, we need them because of ABCD. Probably is that why
we have so many MOUs, many of them which are even dormant, simply because we need those people to be there for us when we need a vote or something. That is incorrect. Let's try and change it around so that it actually shows that we need them in order to make a difference in our country. And this is the difference which we are actually making in our country. By so doing, then we need all those